All right. Hey, welcome to Rethink the Podcast. My name is Cole.
This is Jim.
And you're on episode one. This is it. This is the start.
You were there.
You were there first, right here when it launched. We're going to learn all sorts of great things. I'll bring a lot of great things to the table. Kanye West, Chris Brown, all sorts
of things. It's a good thing it's on video because you look good in that shirt.
Yeah, my shirt underneath it's even tighter, so we might switch to that halfway
possible?
Through. I don't know. I looked for a tighter shirt, and this is all I could get to.
I went hunting right before I got here. I actually have bird blood in my fingernails and on my face.
You look perfect, though.
Thank you.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
That's so good. Hey, as you're listening, if you have questions, we have an email set up, rethink@flatironchurch.com.
Yeah, and what we're going to do with that is anytime during this podcast, if something comes up, or maybe it doesn't have anything to do with what we've talked about, you can just submit a question, rethink@flatironchurch.com, and then our plan is either to answer that in the next podcast, or we're trying to get this thing going that I want to call like Old Fashioned Friday, because that's like my favorite drink, OFF.
OFF, baby.
Yeah, and so and then Friday we'll come up with a kind of a real short form. We'll answer two or three questions. Mm-hmm. And again, we're launching this on YouTube, but Cole, we're trying to expand it out to other platforms too, right?
iTunes, for Android listeners, we'll do Stitcher or something like that. We're working on what that looks like.
Stitcher?
Stitcher. Yeah.
I'm so old. I don't even know what that is.
I only know what it is because of old podcasts. I don't know what it is because I don't do the Android thing.
Yeah, but there are some people.
There's some
We have to open up our minds.
Confused individuals.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get them to rethink and switch over to the Apple dominance that controls the world.
Maybe get rid of that flip phone.
As they should. It's 2019 now.
It is.
It's about time.
It is.
Hey, so we launched a new series this weekend, mm-hmm. which all the responses I've gotten, people are jacked up. People are already mm-hmm. challenged. People are already pushing into it.
Yeah.
From the weekend so far, you were the one who taught, but as you were doing that, like, what did you learn? What did you process as you were thinking through that? You're like, this is something I want to lean into over the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks for myself.
Yeah. I think that they're towards the end. I put out a challenge to the younger half of the room. Mm-hmm. About being able to articulate, like, what's the purpose of my life as a man? And I'd had some conversations with some younger men, and they were really trying really hard to find that language to describe who am I as a man? What's the point of my as a man? And I think it's really important that we articulate that. And I made a big promise that by the end of this series, over the next month and a half, I want every young man, and I think every young woman too, mm-hmm. should be able to say, I know who I am, I know my purpose, mm-hmm. and I know where I'm going to draw my strength to accomplish that, and nothing is going to kind of pull me off, of course. And as I said that from the stage, I could look out and I could see people like nod their heads and go like, I want that.
Yeah.
Because I'm 56 and I raised my head and went, most of us can't do it either. And so we just kind of make it up as we go, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work very well.
No. When did you – so do you have that for you? Do you have like, this is the mission, this is the vision, this is where I'm going with mine?
Yeah.
What is that? I do.
Let me back up really quick because the question you ask is like, what's the immediate feedback? And so this morning I got up early and I went to Walmart. I love Walmart.
It's where I buy all my clothes.
Well, Walmart before 6 a.m. is different than Walmart at any other time of the day because those are my bros and, and there's Jim on the Zamboni and he's like polishing the floor. But I've got a crew there, right? But I'm checking out and this happens all the time and I love it. It's like, so this young man, probably about your age, in his probably late 20s, maybe 30, he comes up and he taps me on the shoulders. I'm scanning there at the self-check and he says, Pastor Jim, he goes, I hate to bother you. And I'm like, no problem, man, what's up? And he says, man, I've been going to Flatirons for about a year and a half and I just want to tell you, you saved my marriage. And he goes, and I said, I started to interrupt. He goes, I know God saved my marriage, and he says, but well, I've been looking so forward to this man series coming up. And then his eyes, this is a dude in like Carhartt's getting ready to go off and work I'm gonna get dirty job, mm-hmm. and his eyes start filling full of tears. And I said, so I asked for a little bit of his story, and I said, you got kids? And he said, I've got a 9-year-old, and this is what he stopped and he said, and he kept apologizing. I'm like, man, it's okay. He says, and I have a daughter now, but I wouldn't have my daughter if it wasn't for Flatirons because we would have gotten a divorce. Hmm. And I said, you're welcome. but that's the immediate impact.
Right.
I think that the moment that I threw out going, hey, let's run after the hearts of men, like something started bubbling up because we're all trying to figure this out, men and women, trying to figure out, like, can somebody just explain the map? Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go. I just don't even know where to go.
Yeah. And I think with that, so back to what you just said there, where it's like, we're going to chase after that and we're going to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
I think there's both like an excitement to that, but then there's also people that are like, I'm scared to do that.
Right.
So for somebody sitting in that spot where it's like, I'm scared to do that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to look at the start because I don't know what's down there.
Hmm?
Where have you seen that in your life? Where have you seen it? It's like, I have to push into this darkest spot to go to find the hardest thing.
Right.
That's the King Arthur story, right? Where it's like you have to go to the darkest part to find...
Where there's no path. And you have to go alone, sure.
Absolutely. So it's like when somebody's sitting in that spot, we've all been in that spot. This is too scary, but we have to press through at some point.
Right.
For me, when I go into a situation like that, I'm thinking like either something really good is going to come out of this and there's a challenge in it for me where it's like I kind of thrive off and there's like an ego as a part of that. But there's also a part of me where it's like it's much easier to be passive. I'm still trying to figure out where I draw that type of strength on where it's like I need to stop being passive because I do it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. What's that for you?
Yeah, I think that any time that you're like you are where you are and you want to move to someplace mm-hmm. else, you have to ask what's the risk of going there and what's the risk of staying where I am,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then you have to kind of off-weigh which risk. And until you that's why most of us don't make any change until there's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're willing to work on our marriage when she says, you know, get the hell out or something like that. Or when somebody makes a mistake or when we get caught, all mm-hmm. of a sudden we're going, okay, now I'm willing to pay attention. And mm-hmm. so usually people don't make change until something really bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to do, the reason I went to Crucible in the first place is I was in a good place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So like my career was going well. My marriage was going well. I had a good relationship with my kids. I paid off all my debt. Everything was going well. And this is where, you know, 50-year-old men...
We throw it all away.
We blow up our lives mm-hmm. and we go, okay, now what? You know, and so I also knew that I had a lot of dark shadows and things like that. And I had this voice inside of me going, hey, you've got everybody fooled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of time till you F it all up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So just pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the voice I still fight in my head, you know?
Yeah.
I have, like, when you go to Crucible, you kind of pick out an animal, not a spirit animal or anything like that. Oh, great spirit. No, just represents like the tension in your life or what mm-hmm. you're dealing with. And mine was anaconda.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the reason you think.
With those pants on, you wouldn't be able to know.
It was the camo pants, right? Yeah. But no, because it's an ambush predator and you don't see it. And all of a sudden it just wraps itself around you and owns you and you can't breathe.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of dark thoughts in my head were. It's like, I'm doing fine. I love Jesus. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love the Lord. I love the church. Mm-hmm. All right. And then something, and Cole, it's so weird, the triggers we have.
Uh-huh.
It can be a smell.
Yeah.
They can take me back to some really dark rooms.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I get that completely.
Yeah. And it wraps itself around you. And then all of a sudden you start spiraling down and it owns you and you feel like I might as well just act out because this is never, ever going to stop. I was talking to a young guy the other day and he goes, hey, Jim, when does it stop? This should be over. Like I should be further along on mm-hmm. this. And I just looked at him and went, I don't know that it ever stops,
mm-mm.
but it doesn't have to own you.
Right.
Right. And so going back to what's the risk? The risk is I can keep on faking it, but in the back of my mind, I know I'm going to blow it up eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can say, I'm going to go for it. And even if I fail, I fail towards a goal,
mm-hmm.
which is closer to the goal than where I am now.
Right.
Right?
Right. And so for me, sexuality has been the thing that has blown up my life over and over and over again.
Okay.
Those thoughts don't go away. But we have to make a different choice as they come up. And it comes into that whole responsibility thing that you talked about this weekend.
Yeah.
But those thoughts don't go away. And so
let me say, the thoughts don't go away, but we're able to deal with them faster.
Right. Okay? But it's all about practice. It seems like a lame word for it, but
no,
it's like.
No. It's the word we used in that verse today.
Right.
Training.
Right. Oh, yeah, 100%. It's training. A discipline at some point.
Until it's a muscle memory.
Right.
You know, I remember talking to a guy I was interviewing for a staff position here, and somehow it came up that he had spent a season of his life really struggling with homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
all right? And he'd been married to his wife, Kristen, for 10 years, had two kids, and so he had my attention now, because mm-hmm. here's a man who's married, and he's still married,
mm-hmm.
and this is almost, I don't know, 15 years ago now, mm-hmm. and he's still married, loves his wife, he's got his kids, and he works for a church, and he's doing ministry. And I said, so talk about that. His name is Toby. I said, talk about that because I'll be honest with you. I kind of went, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And he said, Jim, so I went through this whole season of my life, struggled with a lot of identity things, and he said, I'll be honest with you. Every once in a while, another man, he'll catch my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to take that thought captive and bring it back and tell myself who I am and let it kind of, you know, calm down. And I let Kristen know. And I said, that's the first That's the first time anybody ever been honest about mm-hmm. that. This whole idea that I got cured, whatever yeah. that means, or fixed, heterosexual, homosexual, you know, extramarital, whatever mm-hmm. that is like if I think you're naive if you go, hey, I prayed a prayer. You know what? All things are possible, right?
Yeah.
And I know people that have prayed a prayer and they never wanted to drink again and they were mm-hmm. cured. But most people is I get up every day and have to make a choice, and that's what it is with the sexuality yeah, thing you're talking
it's a
about.
Choice.
Yeah, I mean, so something's going on in your wiring, and God could fix it, mm-hmm. or He could say, "My grace is enough, mm-hmm. and I'm going to walk through it with you."
Yeah.
I wish God would somehow touch my mind in such a way that I don't have those dark anaconda nice. Thoughts anymore. Wouldn't
yeah.
that be great?
It'd be great.
And every time I hear somebody say, yeah, I prayed a prayer and I didn't feel that and never was tempted to do that again, there's part of me wants to go, well, good for you. For the other 99.9% of us, it's every day we have to take that thought captive and go, okay, what did God say is true?
Yeah.
What does God say is true?
There's a guy that I've been working with as he's processing a lot of anger type stuff, and he's new believing in Jesus. Like, it's been a couple months. And he's been working through this stuff where he's been angry for 40 plus years. And yesterday we had a conversation in the lobby, and he was like, honestly, he goes, I've been praying about it a lot, like intentionally asking for help in this one area. And I realized during your talk that I actually feel lighter because I'm not holding on to that anymore. And God like took it away. And my initial reaction was like, really?
I wish you did for me.
Yeah. Because it's like, that's 28 years of my life where I'm like, I've struggled in this and this and this, and you never take it away. And it's frustrating because then it jumps into that victimhood mentality of like, it's not my fault he hasn't taken it away yet. You know? And so it's had to been a choice of like, I have to communicate those things with Taylor when I get in those dark headspaces because I just fall apart at some point and
right.
it all breaks down.
Right.
That doesn't go away. And you're double my age and that doesn't go away.
But yeah. And I think that it just, you know, talking about moving from here to there, we've tried 27 different things and it didn't go away yeah. because somebody promises it would go away.
Yeah.
And you know, and maybe it will, but Jesus says, so, you know, there's that verse in the Bible where Paul says, three times I prayed for this thorn to be taken out of yep. my flesh. And Jesus said, no, all three times. Mm-hmm. I wonder when Paul met somebody on the road who had the same thorn and they say, I prayed and it went away. I wonder if he went, well, that from you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because I wish that I was cured. But here's the other thing I know. So my wife has a lot of medical problems, and there's nothing more I want than that for us to do life together, go to dinner together, mm-hmm. do ministry together,
yeah.
go to kids' games and stuff together, isn't that right? And I've begged God. Mm-hmm. People have given us all kinds of bullshit answers.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't you pray more? Have you done this? Have you done yeah. this? No, we didn't think of that. Thank
essential
you.
Oils. Did you try those?
Essential oils, yes. We've anointed each other yeah. with essential oils.
In multiple ways.
In multiple ways, right. But you know, and I've looked at God and went, hey, God, we could actually do this better if you would just fix this part of our life, her yeah, health, my life,
me.
Or take away my sexual darkness and things like that. If you just take that away, we could serve you better. And his answer, for 34 years so far, has been nope, mm-hmm. but my grace is sufficient. And Cole, I couldn't be the pastor here without my story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Now, that story has the potential to blow up everything if it spins out of control.
Right.
But you know, you hear people say all the time, I wouldn't go back and change a thing. I don't know if I would say that. I remember an aha moment because mm-hmm. I had some abusive stuff happen to me as a kid, yeah. you know, and that's not the worst thing that ever happened to me, but it led to this.
It
led
brought
to
you here.
It did lead me here. And so I remember sitting on my back porch having a conversation with God, mm-hmm. not out loud, some weird, you know, hoobadoobada, that's, mm-hmm. I made that up. But I had this aha moment that says, and you can't say this to other people, so you just have to say it for yourself. If the only way to get here, mm-hmm. to have this wife and these kids and these grandkids, this group of men and these friends, to have this church, to have this ministry, to have to be able to do what I do today, if the only way to get here is to have what happened to me happen to me, my aha moment was I'd want it to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't say that to somebody like in the midst of
something dark they're walking
really
through.
Dark, yeah. right in the middle of yeah. it. And in the middle of it, I would have said, no, God is a bad God.
That's what I wanted to ask was like, okay, so in between those times, all that happening and then you saying like, I would go through that again to get to here. In the middle of that, you're not saying that.
Not at all.
So what got you from point A to point B? Like what carried you through that you can look back or like in the moment say, this is what carried me to this moment. What can somebody walking through that type of thing right now look towards right now? Because it's really easy for us to go, oh, look to Jesus. But at some point, people are like, Jesus left me. You know,
I never felt Jesus left me. It was this weird mixture, this cocktail type of thing yeah. of going, I believe in Jesus, but I got a wolf chasing me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I always say, I always say, this is mostly men listening to this, you think?
Yeah. Okay. There'll be some women, but.
Yeah. I always say, I don't have a big wiener, but I got a big truck.
Yeah.
Big church. Yeah. Big that. And, you know, that's hypothetical listening audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm,
yeah.
No. My point is fear, shame, and insecurity mm-hmm. can get you out of bed in the morning, and you're going to go out there and prove that you're not that little weak whatever. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to do that to me again. And my proving ground was, I'll show you. I'll go build a big church. I'll go build a big this. I got a lot of people. I got this, all right? It's in any industry. It's like, I've got a big bank account. Well, I can bench press a car, mm-hmm. or I can sleep with 47 women. Whatever that is, we're out there trying to prove that something in our past isn't true, isn't right, okay? But I always love Jesus, mm-hmm.
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, but it's this weird cocktail of going, I love Jesus, and I've got a demon chasing me, mm-hmm. all right? And so that got exhausting.
So many people listening this weekend, though, when you said mission, though, that was their mission, that drive.
Say again.
So when you said, like, we need a mission that fuels our life, we need a mission that pushes our life, people use those things that happen to us as fuel to the fire for those types of things, and we get that confused with what an actual mission or goal for our life is.
Right.
So what changed? You had that. You've been talking in the past tense this whole time of you had that pushing you, driving you. What changed to flip it to this is what's driving my life now?
Yeah. So I was trying to let that wolf of fear, shame, and insecurity chase me, and I tried to prove that I was enough and I was strong, and I'll prove to you, wolf. Mm-hmm. And so over a season, I actually began to believe that I am a good man. And I'm strong, and I'm enough, and this is my mission. Sovereign God has entrusted me mm-hmm. with part of His kingdom, mm-hmm. right? That includes Robin, my kids, my body, this church, some men that look to me for influence, and my mission in life is to lead them. Mm-hmm. I walked out of that crucible, so I like to hunt, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I was going through that, I was preparing for my first elk hunt, mm-hmm. and everybody wants to find that bull that mm-hmm. nobody else has found. And that bull is so symbolic because he runs the mountain, mm-hmm. and all the other elk look to him. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, Cole, is it's for a season.
Right.
And for a season, that herd bull runs the mountain, mm-hmm. and he is the undisputed. Everybody looks to him, and he has taken on the responsibility. If you walk onto his mountain, you're not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to deal with him, right? And I started identifying, going, that's a lot of responsibility. And that's what God's chosen me to do. Mm-hmm. And I better lean on him hard. And when I began to articulate that, I saw men going, yeah, Jim, we see that in you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you see me as herd bull. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And then I began to believe what God says true about me. I began to believe it's true. And then I started hearing men, you know. Like, I remember sitting in Uganda with you a couple of years ago, and you look across the steps and go, you're my leader, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, dude, why, you don't need me to lead you. And then you and several of those young campus pastors started going, this is what we see in you. This is what we believe in you. We'll follow you. And I'm like, whew, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yep.
I better get some more stuff together. And mm-hmm. I felt like I was already leading at a good level there. But I think that what you have to do is go, what's chasing me that I'm trying to prove is true, that God says is already true. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. One of my favorite parts of the talk this past weekend mm-hmm. was that picture of that initiation thing of mm-hmm. where I hand this young man a knife mm-hmm. and I tell him he's strong. He just forgot mm-hmm. or somebody lied to him mm-hmm. or tried to tell him something different and he believed a lie about himself. But he's strong. You're a strong man. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say to any man out here going, you might be in the car right now. You might be, you know, you might have just gotten fired, you know. You might, you know, had a fight mm-hmm. with the most important people in your life. You're facing a bill that mm-hmm. you don't know how to pay. I don't know what that is. Everything is going to, the voice is going to say, because it's going to come from Satan, and Satan is the accuser and the liar, mm-hmm. right? It's his native language. And he's going to say, see, you're not enough. Mm-hmm. You're not a man. You're not a good husband. You're not a good, you know. And you know what? Maybe you didn't do a good husband. Maybe you weren't the greatest husband today. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't define you.
Right.
You're a good man. A good husband says, all right, but I'm not done. That's mm-hmm. not the last chapter. I'm going to walk back into my marriage and go, okay, I got to own my crap. I got to fix some things. And that's what we talked about in this whole, mm-hmm. whole thing is this operator's manual is, hey, chainsaws break down. You don't just throw out the chainsaw.
Yeah.
It's not disposable. It's really, really, really important.
Yep.
And so we're going to go back and go, okay, I'm going to look under the hood. That's broken. What needs to be fixed? Let's get it back online and let's use it the right way.
Yeah. So there's men and there's women listening right now that have that wolf chasing them, their own version of it.
Yeah.
When you made the switch from letting that fuel you to letting what God fueled you, how did you see your leadership change and how did you see things get better or things get different? I wouldn't say worse. If we're following God, it's not going to get worse, but it gets different.
It, sometimes it feels less clear.
Yeah.
Because you know the wolf chasing you because he's been chasing you for decades. Mm-hmm. It's like crapping your pants. You know, it's stinky and... but it's mine.
Yep.
You know, it's like,
you know, it's there.
And you know, it's there. So, but it's like, this is all I know. And so there was a season where I had to go, I don't have a wolf chasing me anymore. What's going to get me out of bed? And the vision was, had to keep on coming back and being recast and to go, okay, no, this is true. This is true. This is true. This is, and then coming back to that. And that's why it was so important because like when I've stumbled along the way the last several years, before, when a wolf's chasing you, you're so driven, you know, like you really, it doesn't feel like you need anybody else. Mm-hmm. And now that you're out there on your own with a vision in your life, when you stumble and fall and you don't have anybody around you, you just look over your shoulder and go, the wolf's back.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have men in my life,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, like my soul group, which is, you know, some other men who have gone through Crucible, and also my elders, mm-hmm. Who are men that speak truth into my life. I mean, I had them up at the cabin this past Thursday and Friday for an elder retreat, and it got heated.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about anything except I had this fear that they had lost confidence in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually said, I'd rather die. I'd rather have cancer than to think that you guys don't believe in me. And that was because some things had happened
mm-hmm.
that I don't really want to go into,
but it
made me go, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough. I'm not mm-hmm. strong enough. And they see it, but they care too much to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest. I laid in bed one night and wrote for the first time ever an imaginary resignation letter.
Hmm.
And I remember telling my son that and he goes, Dad, no. I'm like, buddy, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And Robin's like, oh, Jim. And I was like, it's not true. It's just how I felt.
Right.
But those men spoke. They took my crap that I was throwing at them,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I'm okay. I just need you to know how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't look to them for my strength, but there's nothing wrong with being surrounded
by it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So from stage
this
past weekend, you pushed into men and women hard. You challenged them. But there's things that you couldn't have said from stage. There's things you cut out. Is there something that you didn't say this weekend that over the next 5 weeks we need to be thinking through that you can't say from a church stage that you want to challenge somebody with?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is the first talk. I intentionally ran my talk by some ladies.
Yeah.
And they gave me some really good perspective.
I think it strengthened it.
I did too. Yeah. Because like Lindsay, who runs all of our student ministries, she brought a great perspective that basically, you know, my first point said, don't bully or don't you know, point anything out in this man's life. Also, you're part of the problem. And the third thing is you're pretty much stuck. You shouldn't have married him in the first place. And that made me think it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. And the last thing I want women to do is to look at him going, yeah, he's not going to change.
And I'm stuck.
Right. But she can't change him. And a wedding ceremony can't change him. But God can. And that's where I wish I would have had more time to go, can we just stop there for a minute? Because
mm-hmm.
whatever's going on in your life right now, it doesn't always have to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have to take some really heavy lifting by you or both of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one of you will do it and the other one won't, it's going to be harder, but it still needs to be done. And I wish I would have had more time to develop that. The other thing is I think that I wish I could have I wish I could have spoken to that younger under 30 crowd of men and just very carefully spoken. I wish I had a whole talk to go, you are being fed poison.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels okay. It actually feels right. It feels good. It feels, I don't know. It will not sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
And a day is coming when it's going to fall apart. Men and women were different. We're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's not about, you know, value. We're different. And what feels like right now is if I can just be, this is going to sound horrible, because it feels like I'm indicting women, and I'm not. If men can just act like women, it feels like that we'll all get along better because we're all acting kind of the same.
Yeah.
And women don't want men to act like women.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because we're bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Because we're not them.
We're not them. And it's like we don't want women to act like men, not because we're not threatened by it or something like that. It's because there's this – I don't know. If we figure this out – the complementarianism is so good. I need someone different than me because someone different than me makes me better.
Mm-hmm.
And me different than her makes her better. And then we're better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. I'm not saying you're half a man if you don't have a woman. Half a woman, right?
But it's a balance.
But I really wish I could have leaned into and just started. And maybe we can do that over the next few weeks in here going, let's just start poking at some of the stuff that's being shoved down our throats.
Yeah.
You know, that says you're a hateful person, you're a bad person if you were to even say that. I mean, I made a statement, facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah.
And I took Ben Shapiro's name out of it
because you'd isolate half the room with it. Yeah.
Well, just as a pastor, I don't want to get political because it'll hijack it.
Yeah.
But you know, whether he said it or not.
It's true.
The truth is, you know, God created this world. He created men like this, women like this, and marriage works best like this. And that's his idea. And we can do different versions of it
mm-hmm.
and pull it off, but it won't be as good as what God had. Now, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you have a great marriage,
right?
And like I've always said this, I believe that heterosexual marriage has done more damage to the institutions of marriage than gay marriage has, you know, just by sheer numbers, all right? But just because he's a Christian, don't marry him. But if that person on the other side of of this equation, if they're not saying at least we're trying to run after the same big main thing, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
all right, it's gonna be a struggle, right? Because you have different goals, and you either have to give up part of those goals to make him or her happy, or you have to run without him.
Yeah.
And then that separates you.
Yeah, and when your mission isn't the same, you're both going in two different directions, pulling each other the other way.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that the next couple weeks.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Yeah, so if anything has come up, you know, in this conversation going, hey, I want to hear more about that, or here's a situation I'm dealing with, or what would you do, what advice do you have for me? And I'm not really good at advice giving. I can give perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And probably throw something out. Whenever Jesus was asked for advice, he'd usually answer it with a question.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be what we want to do.
Yeah.
But just send that in to rethink@flatironschurch.com, and we will get to as many of those as we possibly can. The other thing is just feedback going, hey, so I was listening to you and Cole talk, things like that. It seems like I was expecting you to say this, you didn't say this. Can you elaborate on that? Or I'd like to hear more about this. And kind of let the listener say, I want to hear more about that. I want to hear more about that. Or how come you never talk about it? And kind of let that
fuel this
because it doesn't mean Jim and Cole's great ideas.
We have a lot.
Well, that would take up several podcasts, Cole,
for sure.
But
hours.
We have to be humble.
I'm working on it.
I am too.
Yeah.
I really am too. But so, and I don't want this to just be about the latest series that we're doing at Flatirons. We're using this whole operator's manual maybe to launch this thing, but I don't want it to be limited to Flatirons. I don't want it to be limited to what I'm teaching about, but I do really want to go after what is the mission and purpose of my life as a man? How to get off track? How do I get it back on track? And then where do I go from here?
Yeah.
Because this is where we are.
Yeah.
Right? Wherever you are listening to this right now, this is your life.
Yep.
And I forget, some wise person said, your life has worked out perfectly to end up as it is right now. And if anything has to change, you have to rethink some stuff, especially the vision for your life. Do you want that? Because we all say, I want to get in shape, but we eat Doritos. So
mm-hmm.
it's a great idea, but it doesn't do anything. And then we have to develop a strategy.
Yep.
We have to, you know, to quote Jesus, we have to build a house on a rock that doesn't fall down over and over and over again.
Yep.
But it starts if we got to rethink everything. And that's scary. It's dangerous, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Welcome to Rethink.
Here we go.
Nice.